Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You have a purpose in your life. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say some of you guys have disconnected from that purpose. Maybe for various reasons. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord and it just doesn't make sense to have that race in your mind. Maybe like Peter, you have a failure in your life, and that failure makes you feel like you can't be used by God.
Do you feel like you're not usable by God? Like you're not good enough or holy enough? Or maybe you're worried what others might think if they saw you doing amazing things for the kingdom of God because they've seen you at your worst. They know your failures. Jesus wants us to know you can be a shining story of His forgiveness and restoration. Run your race for God, knowing that He has cleansed you and made you a new creation. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with John 21, verses 15 through 25.
Father, we want to thank you so much for the love, the care that you have for each one of our lives. And what a privilege that we can now open up our Bibles and hear what you have to say to us. I pray for those that are here who feel at a distance from you, who feel like they are not used by you and not called to be used by you, or maybe they disconnected themselves from the call you have for their lives, that they would return and be committed to running the race that you have given them to run. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So John chapter 21, the last part of the chapter, is the restoration of Peter. That's the text we're covering today. Peter needs restoration because he denied the Lord when the Lord had been arrested right before he was crucified. And you can imagine how devastating that must have been to Peter because he was overconfident. He thought Jesus didn't really know him. He thought he knew himself better than Jesus knew him. So when Jesus said, "Peter, you are going to deny me tonight," Peter said, "Lord, even if every one of these other ones deny you, I will never deny you." Now, who was right and who was wrong? Did Peter really think he was going to be right and Jesus was going to be wrong? And so there needed to be a restoration. There had already been a personal restoration. I believe that by the time Jesus meets with Peter on the Sea of Tiberias to have breakfast with him this morning, he is restoring him to ministry. He's not restoring him personally. On the day Jesus rose from the dead, he made a special point to appear to Cephas, to Simon Peter. And we have no idea what they said. I can imagine there were some tears. There were some, "I'm sorry, Lord, I never thought I would deny you. I can't believe that I've done this." I imagine there was some, "Forgive me for that." But there was some kind of a restoration into the relationship of Jesus. But Peter needs to be restored into the plan, the call, the purpose that God has for him. I have opened Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read you verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 2, which is the last verse there. But from verse 4 to 10 is a great section of Scripture. I encourage you to read it later on. It talks about what God's doing in your life in the past, present, and future. What He has done for you, what He is doing for you, and what He's going to do for you. And it's full of the richness of God and His work in your life. It's a great text. And then in verse 10, talking about the future, he says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." A couple of things are said in this text. First of all, that we are God's workmanship. God has art projects. That's what this is saying. And you are His workmanship. My mom keeps out on her little knickknack shelf a dinosaur that I made in like the second grade. I've always been a little bit artistic. I got A's in school in art and F's in everything else. Because I was creative and I could draw, and so it was a class that I loved. But that poor dinosaur I made, I don't know what grade I was in, it had to be first or second grade, that poor dinosaur is not very good workmanship. That dinosaur is the workmanship of Robert Furrow, and it is pretty pathetic looking. But God has created you into His workmanship. The word in the Greek is the word poema. We get our word poem from it. You are a poem written by God, created for good works. He had just said in the previous verses, you can't do any works to be saved. It's by grace, and you receive what God has done for you by faith. You can't do any works, but that doesn't mean works aren't a part of our lives, because you were created for good works that He had planned for you before the foundations of the world. So you have a job, you have a call, you have a plan, you have a purpose in your life. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say, some of you guys have disconnected from that purpose. Maybe for various reasons. Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord and it just doesn't make sense to have that race in your mind. Maybe like Peter, you have a failure in your life, and that failure makes you feel like you can't be used by God. Some of you guys have had a failure in your marriage, maybe a divorce. Some of you guys have had moral failures, and you feel like God can't use you. But I want to say to you that there's not a person in here, and I believe this with all of my heart, that God cannot restore into being used by Him. That you can finish the race that God has given you to run. And don't you think after Peter's great failure, the denial of Jesus, even after he overconfidently claimed, I will never deny you, and even if all of these other chumps deny you, I won't do it. In the Greek, that's the word that he used when he said these chumps. That's what he was saying. Even if every one of these other ones, that was a joke, by the way, deny you. I just had to tell you because you didn't laugh. So I thought, wasn't quite as funny as I thought it was going to be. Even if all of these others deny you, I will never deny you. That was even telling Jesus, I love you more than they do. My commitment's deeper than theirs is. Even if they deny you, I won't deny you. I am not them. I will never deny you. And then, of course, he has this great failure. When he has a great failure, he's restored his relationship to Jesus, but he still feels like I'm going back fishing. I'm a fisherman. I don't know about this preaching stuff, but I can fish, which I'm not sure he can. Because both times we're told that Peter fished all night, he didn't catch anything. Maybe the Lord was at work in that though, trying to say to him, stop it. You've got to do what I called you to do. I said, leave those nets and follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Let's go and do that. Once again, Peter has disconnected, and he's going fishing again. And then he sees Jesus, and he meets Jesus on the shore at the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus has breakfast prepared for them around a campfire. What a great breakfast for these seven disciples, including Peter's brother Andrew, including James and John, the two others of the three inner circle, Peter making up the others, including Thomas, and two unnamed disciples. Someone said, put your name in there. Imagine you guys sitting there at this breakfast with Jesus. We're not told what he says. There's so much that we're not told in the scriptures. So much that I wish we were told that we're not told. We don't know what Jesus said to them at this breakfast. We don't know what they said to Jesus at this breakfast. We don't know if there were some tears or maybe some, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, I imagine that each one of them felt like James and John, that they needed to talk to the Lord about the crucifixion. James is the older brother for John, but John was at the cross, and maybe James felt like he had to say, I'm sorry, Lord, that I wasn't there. My little brother was there, but I wasn't there. Well, now it's after dinner. And God lets us in on the after dinner conversation. In fact, that would be a great title for this message, wouldn't it? After breakfast conversation. Let's go with that one. After breakfast conversation. The real title of the message is the question, because Jesus asks Peter one question three times in this text. It says in John 21, verse 15, then when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now let's break this down a little bit. He starts off by saying, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, this is 30 years after these events that John writes the book of John. And John refers to him still as Simon Peter. When Peter had met Jesus, the first thing Jesus said to him is, "You are Simon, and from now on you will be known as Peter." The word Peter means rock. He literally named him Rocky. But during the whole Gospel of John, Jesus, when he talks to Peter, calls him Simon Peter, as if to say, there's some Simon in you and there's some Peter in you. Simon Peter. And all these years later, John refers to him as Simon Peter. It says he asked Simon Peter, then he gives what Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah. Notice that Jesus didn't say Peter, but now not Simon Peter, but simply Simon, son of Jonah. You've gone back to your old life. You're living like Simon again. He says, "Do you love me more than these?" And before we focus on the love, let's think about the more than these. Well, what did Jesus mean more than these? There's been several suggestions. First of all, that Jesus might have meant the other six disciples that were around the breakfast fire. Peter had said, "Even if these guys deny you, I will never deny you." And now it's as if Jesus is saying, "Do you really love me more than these guys?" Others have suggested it's the fish. The Bible says that they took some of the fish they caught and they brought it to the fire, and that Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these fish? You really want to go back fishing?" Maybe it was the boats and the nets. "Do you love me more than these?" It's one of those. And also, Jesus asked a question that cuts right to the heart and could probably cut right to the heart of where we are in any struggle that we are having in faith at all. And periodically, Christians do have struggles in faith, do have crises of faith. And he says to Peter, who's in the midst of his own, "Do you love me?" And that really is the question. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Father? Because if you do, then you will do anything for him. You think about the person that you love the most. You'll do anything for them, won't you? Think about your children. There's just such a special love that God gives between parents and children. There are special headaches he brings along with those as well, but there is a special love that God gives. And I would do anything for those whom I love. I love my children so much that when they ask me to help them move, I say yes. And I will not say that to anyone else. I have a built-in excuse now. My back is bad enough, I ain't picking up your dresser. I love my children enough that I will dig into my checkbook to help them hire a moving company to move them so I won't have to move them. But the real truth is, if we are struggling with Christ, if we're struggling with commitment, then we should ask that question ourselves. Are we loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because if we really love him, then we're willing to sacrifice anything for him. Do we really love him? Now, also, we should talk about the word for love, because in the English language, the English is, it's less colorful, it's less descriptive. The Greek is a very descriptive language. There's many more words in the Greek language than there is in the English language. There's one word in English for love. I say, "I love my wife and I love burritos." Let's hope I love my wife in a different way than I love burritos. In the Greek, there are four different words for love. There's the first word, and this is the word Jesus uses, and that word is agapeo. We get the word agape from it, and it's the word for commitment. You might say to someone, "I agape you." But what you are saying to them is not, "I have feelings for you." You're saying, "I am committed to love you." The Bible says that we husbands are to say to our wives, or we are to love our wives, agape them. We are to be committed to them. We could say to someone, "I will agape you. I will love you." When you say that, meaning the word agape, you're not telling them you're going to have feelings for them. You're telling them, come thick or thin, hell or high water, I am going to love you. I am committed to this. Like the great theologian Clint Black said, love is something that you do. And that's the idea. I will love you. The second word that I want to talk about is the word phileo. We get the city of brotherly love from that word phileo. It is a love for friendship. It means fondness. You are fond of someone. You like them. You like being around them. When someone asks me if I know someone who is my good friend, a good friend of mine, I will say to them, oh, he's a good friend. What I'm telling them is I like him a lot. He's a good friend of mine. I like hanging out with him. That's phileo. Phileo is you're fond of the person. The third word I want to talk about is the word eros. Eros in the Greek is the word for love. It's the word for attraction. It's the word between a man and a woman. It's not just a sensual love. I heard someone say one time that eros is a sensual love. Yes, it includes that sensuality between a husband and a wife, but it is more than that. It is that one person that you are committed to, that you love in that special eros way. It is also the romantic love. When you bring home flowers and later on that night say to your wife, come here. That's eros. That's that eros love between you two. The last word is an interesting word, and it's sterge. Sterge is the word for the Greek word for stuff. If you want to say I love my house, you wouldn't say I agape my house. That'd be weird. You might say I phileo my house. I'm really fond of it. I have these really emotions connected to it. But you're probably going to say I sterge my house, which is a love for things. That means I like my house. I love my house. Sterge. Interestingly enough, too, sterge is also the Greek word for relatives. And I guess that makes sense to some degree because you choose your friends, but you have your relatives. They belong to you. So I sterge my relatives and I phileo my friends. Obviously, you could still phileo or you could agape your relatives as well, but everybody's got their relatives and we don't choose them. And so people say, I sterge my family. So when he says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He uses the word agapeo. In the Greek, agape is what we would say. Are you committed to me? Will you love me? Will you give me everything? Will you make that commitment to love me with everything? And he said to him, Lord, you know I love you. And I wish that it was written in a different way in the English because we miss this in our translations. He says to him, Lord, you know I phileo you. He says, you're my friend. I like you a lot. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I like you a lot. That might be a good translation. I really like you. I phileo you. Maybe Peter was afraid that if he said, Lord, yes, I agape you, that Jesus would say, then why did you deny me? Peter has also backed himself down from his overconfidence, which is good. He wants to be honest with God. It's a waste of time to be anything else but honest with God. He's in essence saying, Lord, I'm questioning my commitment level to you because I denied you. Peter obviously wishes he wouldn't have done it. But he says, Lord, I phileo you. I also love, and this is so very important for this text, that Jesus never brings up the denial to Peter. He doesn't say, Simon, son of Jonah, let's talk about your denial. Denier. He doesn't condemn him. Why? Because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. No matter what your failure may be, he is not focusing on the failure. He's focusing with you being restored to him, first of all, and then restored to your purpose, your call, your workmanship that God wants to give you. And so Peter honestly responds, Lord, I like you a lot. And he also throws in a you know, which is saying, see, Peter had said, you don't know, Lord, I know. When Jesus said, you're going to deny me, no, I will never deny you. Who was right and who was wrong? And did Peter really think that Jesus was going to be wrong? Out of all the times that he'd known Jesus, how many times had Jesus been wrong? Zero. How many times had Peter been wrong? A bunch. And now he thinks one time that Jesus is going to be wrong. And so now he says, you know. I like you. Something a little bit sad about that, isn't it? But something refreshing, something honest. And I think God can deal with our honesty when we're honest with him. And so Jesus says to him, this is the commission. This is the restoration. Feed my lambs. You like me? Then feed my lambs. You're not going back to fishing. You're not going to be a fisherman again. You're going to be a fisher of men. And I want you to take care of the lambs. The new believers, I want you to take care of them. Later on, we will know Peter as Peter. We will know Simon Peter as Peter. When we read the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Peter, we don't read the 1st, 2nd, 3rd books of Simon Peter. We don't read the 1st, 2nd, 3rd books of Simon the son of Jonah. We read the 1st, 2nd, 3rd books of Peter because he's become that person that God wants him to be. And that's also important to note that Peter uses the word agape in his letters over and over and over again. To speak of the love that he has for them, to speak of the love we're to have for one another, and to speak of the love that he has for God, he uses the term agape. So he says, feed my lambs. And Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah. I wonder if Peter was like, yes. Do you love me? This time he doesn't say, do you love me more than these? He just simply says, do you love me? And the second time he uses the word agapeo, agape, this 100% love. Are you committed to me? Do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Exact same as the first question. You know, I like you a lot. He doesn't step up the second question. And Jesus says to him, tend my sheep. First of all, feed my lambs, the new little believers, but also tend my sheep, take care of them. Sheep need to be taken care of. And Jesus said, we are sheep. And God comes in and cares for us. Sheep are one of those few animals that can't exist in the wild on their own. Someone once said that sheep are the best argument against evolution. How did sheep ever survive if evolution were true? Because they are constantly tended and cared for by someone in order to be taken care of. And we are called sheep. Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah. And I see him going, yes. It's like I've told you twice. What? Do you love me? Again, not more than these, just simply, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He wasn't just grieved because Jesus asked him three times, one time for every denial, but because the third time, Jesus didn't use the word agapeo, he used the word phileo. Jesus dropped down to Peter's level. Peter, do you phileo me? And Peter was grieved because Jesus said the third time, do you phileo me? It's as if he said to him, do you even like me a lot?
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.